Mike Oresco.
State of the Union address for the Americans. Big win on Thursday night. And this Power 6 thing, does it have some legs?
Well, I think so. I certainly think that gave it some, more than probably we had. I thought that would be a big game for us because I don't think we get the respect we deserve. It's that simple. I don't think we ever have. We've got a lot of good teams, top to bottom. You know, we have a few teams that struggle, but every league does. Houston... No team in the country has two wins over two top five teams. And they didn't just win those games. They won them decisively. I myself think they should be in the top 10. It's that simple. Oklahoma, you know, they lost to Ohio State at home. Tulsa lost to Ohio State on the road. Tulsa almost beat Houston at Houston. Houston, you saw what they did, 31-0 at the half against Louisville. Lamar Jackson's a great player, but everybody just assumed that, you know, he couldn't be stopped, and Houston did a great job. They did a great job with Baker Mayfield, who's another great player. I just don't think the league, and, you know, two losses for Houston, it's no disgrace to lose to Navy at Navy, where they've won, I think, 15 straight, and taking nothing away from Navy. You know, everybody knows Houston had, you know, five of their best players not that game, but taking nothing away from Navy. Navy's absolutely terrific. The other thing, too, is that, you know, SMU's a much-improved team. All I want to see is fairness. I don't want to see us treated differently than P5 teams. I think our teams, top to bottom, are really strong. ECU has struggled this year, but they did beat East Carolina, beat North Carolina State, which almost beat Clemson at Clemson. Missed field goal, should have won the game. You look around, UConn did beat Virginia. You know, they've struggled. So even our lower, they talk about Wake having a really good season, and they are. Well, they only beat Tulane 7-3, and Tulane is rebuilding under Willie Fritz and doing a nice job. You look at what some of our other teams have done, the schedules we play, they're really, really tough schedules. We play the best of the P5. We won our share, 17 over the last 2 years. So, again, that's been my talking point. You know, I think we've earned that P6 moniker. I think when you see a game, I think Houston could beat any team in the country in a given day. I mean, I'd love to see them be able to play some of the top teams, you know, and they have, well, they have. I mean, they already have played two of them, but I'd love to see them play some of the teams that are destined for the playoff, because I really thought that one team this year had a shot to do it. And, you know, every now and then you stumble, you know. You have issues that happen during the year. You lose a game or two. It's no disgrace, believe me. Anyway.
Unlike 2 years ago, Zay Jones is named on this Biletnikoff watch list, and the number one and two receivers all time in receptions are at East Carolina. I guess, what's that say about your conference to have a team that has the all-time leaders, number one and number two?
Well, it's remarkable that East Carolina produced Justin Hardy. And you remember, I got upset when he wasn't on the watch list, and I felt really good about saying so. I thought, you got to defend your league. I thought it was just an absolute... It was ridiculous that, you know, Justin wasn't on the list. And now Zay Jones comes along, and he's also a great young kid, just as Justin was. In fact, I think he's a Campbell finalist, which I'm really proud of him. And he's about to set the record. He needs 8 receptions today. I think having players like that here says a lot. Also, you had, obviously, Shane Carden was a record. He was a tremendous quarterback. You had a lot of great players here over the years. And I go back a long way with East Carolina. I remember, you know, obviously, you had Ernest Biner years ago. You had Robert Jones. I mean, these are absolutely great players here. And, again, this is just a year when the team's struggling. Scotty Montgomery's got to build his own program, and he'll do it. And this team will be right back.
To get to Power 6 status, it's going to be the television contract. The NFL hooking up on Thursday nights with Twitter, you know, is that kind of the future, some of those oddball things, that maybe that's how you get, you know, more television money?
Well, Brian, you know, we're going to look at everything, and we're certainly we're pleased with our partner, the great exposure we get from ESPN. It's helped everybody build their brands. As long as we're trying and we're working hard on recruiting, we hire good coaches, which we do, then we have that TV exposure. We need that. That's important. And I think ESPN, you know, it's been a great partner. I think we want to make sure that we canvass the marketplace, and we'll talk to ESPN. We're not negotiating with them at this point. Our negotiation's a few years away. The P5 thing is interesting. I divide it into two things. First of all, the whole, and I don't say power, to me that's ridiculous. We win a game like Thursday. You saw it. They're not power. How ridiculous is it? The term takes on a ridiculous connotation at times, you know. Now, I understand why they call them that. They should have called them something else. But I understand those five conferences had the money. They've had the more tradition. They've had the flagship state universities. I got all that. The Big East was once part of that. We're the successor to the Big East. We fell out of it during a time of turmoil. If we were constituted the way we are now, playing the way we are now, we probably would never have been dropped from that whole business of autonomy and P5. But there are two aspects to it. The autonomy business, the idea that they're part of Autonomy 5, meaning they can pass legislation, certain kinds of legislation, and they can propose legislation, and they have a certain ability to spend money that maybe the other schools can't do. The fans don't care about that. The fans aren't keyed into that. The fans, if you said to a fan, you know, they're a part of an Autonomy 5, they might not know necessarily what you're talking about. Some would follow closely, would. But then you'd have to follow NCAA governance pretty closely. P5 is a term the media, I think, invented. I don't know who invented it. We're trying to find out where it originated from. It was 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, and I don't know where it came from. But that has to do, as far as we're concerned now, when you use that term, that should be competitiveness on the field and how good your programs are and whether you have good attendance and whether you have good fan support. Attendance has grown both years. Even last year we had a 10% increase, and this year we're ahead of that pace. So, you know, ahead of, we're not 10% up, but we're ahead of the pace last year. So my feeling is I told our schools, just keep winning. We'll make that case. If the media and the public believes we're a P5, then a 6, then they'll start referring to the Power 6. They won't refer it to just Power 5. And once you do that, then we can worry about the legislative aspects of the NCAA. That's going to be tricky. And I don't, you know, we can't guarantee entry into that group. There's probably some legislative paths. But my point has been that you create a fait accompli. You basically create a critical mass of public opinion. Now, you know, Tony Kornheiser, I heard, said Houston ought to be in the top 10. I've been saying that all week. If they beat Louisville after beating Oklahoma the way they did and only losing 2 games, the committee has talked about, I wouldn't say excuses, but they, 1 year they talked about a time difference. Remember with the Stanford Northwestern game? They said, well, you know, they had a time issue, you know, they had to play in the East. And then other times they'll say injuries, you know, that team had injuries. Well, what about Houston? You know, with some of the issues they had to deal with. So I just wanted to be, you know, treated fairly. And the whole P5 narrative is part of what we're going to do. I never felt we could do anything else. You can't go backward. You have to keep going forward. Look at Temple. They have 3 losses, but they lost to Penn State on the road by a touchdown. And I don't know that if they played on a neutral field now, who would win. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. Temple is a much improved team. They've got 2 running backs now. One, you know, Jahad Thomas didn't even play against Penn State. Or if he did, he was injured. You've got a team there that has really improved. So even our middle-level teams like Memphis, Tulsa, they're not our top teams this year in terms of their record. They have 3 losses. You wouldn't want to play them. So I just don't want to have people say, well, they don't have a tough enough schedule, therefore they don't deserve to be ranked. We should have 3 teams ranked, and it's that simple. And I'm just going to keep fighting the battle.
This game was supposed to be on Thursday night originally. Is there, you guys get an extra Thursday night game, or what happens with this being rescheduled?
No, we don't. It's just one of those things for the year. You know, fortunately, they both had buys on this day, or it would have been very tough to reschedule. What we might have done, we don't know yet, really, because we didn't have to happen, but this game could have been shifted to Navy had East Carolina been able to get out. We were much more concerned about the people suffering here and the flooding and all the different issues, so we knew that their game couldn't be played. It would be wrong to try to play it. So the question then would be, if that had happened, would there have been a switch for home game the following year? Fortunately, we didn't have to get into any of that because it was almost a miracle that they both had the same bye date. That never happened.
Yeah.
In addition, we had another game that had to be postponed, and it also had the same bye dates. That's beyond miraculous.
I know you've been talking a lot about Houston, but if it shapes up today, they're not going to play in the conference championship. What's it say about the league and, I guess, the consolidarity of it, the fact that the Big 12 didn't expand and take any of your teams, but also the fact that you mentioned how good Houston is, and they're not even a part of the conference championship?
That's a great point. That's a really great point. It's sort of like LSU-Alabama a few years ago. It's nice to have teams that good in the same division, where one of them is that good and won't even necessarily play in the championship game. We don't know yet, but it's likely if Navy wins one of their last 2 games, they're the champion. If they don't, then Houston could still be the champion. Remember, Houston has to go to Memphis next week and play a very tough game at Memphis, which is a real tough place. Memphis is a good team. Houston's coming off this big win, so you never know. But I think it just says a lot about the strength of the conference, top to bottom. I mean, look at our conference. You know, you've got Navy. You've got South Florida, which you haven't even mentioned, which is a really, really good team. I mean, they went up and beat Syracuse 45-20, whatever it was, and Syracuse beat Virginia Tech. I mean, I can look at all those kinds of comparisons. We talked to the committee, and we said, look at the guys you have in the group of five ranked ahead of us. We're 20-2 against the group of five over 2 years. 10-1 this year, 10-1 last year. I said, they have played strength of schedule far worse than ours. Not even close. Our guys' strength of schedule, take a look at the NCAA strength of schedule metrics, and ours are way better. I said, where are the signature wins compared to what we have in our conference? And just look at the strength of our conference. If you're 20-2 against that group, then I think it says something over 2 years. You know, and the same thing with the P5. None of them have remotely the number of P5 wins. Our 17 plus Notre Dame. That's Notre Dame and the 16 against the P5 plus Notre Dame. In addition to countless other competitive games, look at Temple last year against Notre Dame, a game they easily could have won against a team that was ranked in the top 10. So every time, you know, Houston's winning in the Peach Bowl, UCF's winning in the Fiesta Bowl. We've proven it time and time again, but I won't say it if it wasn't true. If we weren't doing this, then I wouldn't say it, because you have to have credibility. But the truth is, look at what we've done. People, it irritated me that they weren't even talking about Houston. They were saying, well, Louisville, you know, they may not get in the championship game, but they'll still only have one loss, and therefore. And I said, wait a minute, they still got to play Houston at Houston. And everybody was acting like, well, that's not even going to, you know, no big deal. That's nonsense. You know, that's going to be a tough game. They were talking about Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma at the beginning of the year. For 6 months, that's all I heard about. And he's a great player. Oklahoma's a good team. But they kept saying, well, you know, that big game against Ohio State, that's going to determine whether they're going to be in the playoff hunt. And they kind of overlooked Houston. And I was at the game, and it was the same kind of thing. That game easily could have been 40-17. Easily. Yeah, they remember Houston had a little flub at the end zone, first goal down at the 1 yard line with a few minutes left. If they had scored there, they had a funny handoff they probably shouldn't have done, and they fumbled, and Oklahoma got a late drive. Otherwise, it would have been 40-17. Those kinds of wins should mean something, and just hope they do.
With that in mind, though, were you surprised that the Big 12 overlooked Houston even in that, or didn't it expand at all?
You know, I had no idea what the Big 12 was going to do. You know, I can't say surprised. I guess I thought they were going to expand, because I thought the process had been prolonged and they had talked a lot about it. You kept hearing some rumors that they wouldn't, but I thought, well, if they're really this serious and they've done this amount of work, they probably will expand. Main thing is, we were prepared for it. We thought, you know, if it happens, we just got to be prepared. You know, we have to know what our strategy is. We have to figure out. We thought the league would still be strong. Now that we're intact, we've got a real chance to build something special here. I think all these teams, by virtue of being in this league, are going to get better because of competition. You saw here, you know, nobody's got a lot of patience if you're not winning. And that's been true at a lot of our schools. And some of it in college sports isn't great because, you know, coaches don't get a chance maybe to build a program maybe like they did in the old days. But some of it just shows that people really, really are anxious to win.